The last 2 weeks we've been looking at the choices we make and that we want to be directed by the Lord. We've looked at particularly those precious words found in Proverbs chapter 3 about trust in the Lord with all of your heart. The Lord doesn't want us to lean on our own understanding, does he? He wants to direct our paths. Praise be to his name. He wants to. That's his will, that we follow after him. I've entitled today, as we continue the sort of theme, Grow Up or Growing Up. Now, this isn't an adult, a parent will say to their 9-year-old child, "Why don't you grow up?" An absolutely silly thing to say, because a 9-year-old child acts like a 9-year-old. It's when, you know, we're 57 and we say to our 29-year-old boy, "Grow up," you know, then we may have an issue, you know, and something which we need to get through. This isn't that type of message. The Lord wants us to grow up in Christ, to grow up so that we make good decisions, that we're pleasing him, that we're surrendering to his will. God wants our best. So if you would turn in the Word of God, please, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 5, we read chapter 5 and the first 3 verses of chapter 6. Yes, so let me make it absolutely clear, because I realize this is going worldwide. I've not had to say that to any of my sons for a very long time. They say it to me. And I made a silent promise that I would not have any jokes today, okay? So this is the Word of God. It talks about the qualification of the high priesthood. It obviously talks about Jesus, who is our great high priest, but it also talks about the function and the ministry of priests. And in many ways, the priests were very, very important people. Not only did they have some spiritual qualification, they needed the anointing of the Lord, but in some ways, they're like the psychiatrists of today. You know, they had to deal with people's fears, people's anxieties, people's emotions, and so on. But it will be verses 12 and 13 that we will be particularly looking at for a few moments this morning. So Hebrews chapter 5, if you have a church Bible, it's page 1064. "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, 'You are my son, today I've begotten you.' As he also says in another place, 'You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek,' who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with the vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say, and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying aside the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permits. That's the word of the Lord. God's will is that all of us who have named the name of Jesus, who have confessed him as Saviour, that we mature in faith, in love, in godliness, or in righteousness. That's God's will, that we should be maturing, that we should be growing up. The writer to the Hebrews reveals quite a lot, I think, about his pastoral heart. As you read through Hebrews, as you take a look at it, the author, I think, demonstrates he has very much a pastoral heart, a caring heart, a shepherd's heart. And here we very much see that he's concerned, deeply concerned, about the spiritual state of his readers. He's concerned, he's burdened. Two times in Hebrews he makes some very, very challenging statements. In no uncertain terms, he talks about the Israelites and he says, look, the sin and the unbelief of the Israelites in the wilderness, they failed to enter the promised land because of their pride, because of their stubbornness, because of their unbelief. And he warns us, don't follow their example. So the writer confronts them, if you like, and confronts us with what is potentially a very, very serious condition. He says, you're just so slow on the uptake. You're slow to learn. You're not getting it. You're not progressing. God wants you to. He doesn't want you to fail. Now, it may be a popular belief that spiritual maturity is just for the elite, just for the leaders. Not so. Not so. It is for all who have named Jesus Christ. It's a requirement of everyone who is born again. Now, of course, if we are newly born of the Holy Spirit, if we've recently come to faith in Christ, we're still at the beginning of the journey. We haven't yet even progressed onto much maturity. That is recognized. But there should still be the desire to press on in righteousness, to grow in Christ. Why do we say that? Why should we, even from the, as it were, the youngest in faith, why should we be earnestly wanting to grow in Christ and in righteousness? Several reasons, and perhaps we'll deal with one of them, but one is, hey, that's God's asked us to, and if we don't, we're being disobedient. That's unbelief, that's pride, that's arrogance. I don't want to be arrogant to God. Secondly, hey, we've got a roaring, the enemy is described as a roaring lion. Okay, he's looking to see who he can poach, who he can devour. That's what he's doing. That's our enemy. That's what he wants to do. And if you're not maturing, if you're still at base camp, if you're still on the first rung of the ladder, you're easy prey. Because you don't know the word, you don't know what it is to grow in righteousness. And he'll get you. He will get you. The devil will get you. Because we've spoken about this, and I know we looked at it in the Sunday school 2 or 3 weeks ago. Jesus Christ, our Saviour, our Lord, he was baptized from on high, and then he was led in the wilderness, and he spent 40 days without food, and obviously the enemy was on his back, on his shoulders, tempting him for a good period of time. And at the end of the 40 days, the devil really does test Jesus, tempt Jesus. But of course, Jesus is God as well as human. He was really, really tempted. He was hungry. He was hungry. You know, he has the same emotions as you and I have. But of course, our Lord did not sin. He was able to resist, and he was able to say, it is written. He knows the word. And if we are maturing, we've got some experience, we're reading the word, the Lord will bring back his word so that we can come against the enemy and also be blessed and enriched. That one of the temptations was, you know, these stones can be turned into something that you can eat. You know, you can do anything, Jesus. Why don't you do this? Why don't you get puffed up and lifted up? And Jesus said, look, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of my mouth. This is life-giving. We need to mature, or else we will be easy prey for the enemy. If we have believed on Jesus, it means we've been yoked to Christ. That's amazing. We've been joined with Christ. And although as babes we have... Look, if a 21-year-old, a 21-year-old lad, no special needs, you know, just a lad, normal lad, 21, and but we find that we go to his home, and instead of having tikka masala and rice, he's being fed with a bottle. And instead of using the bathroom, he's still having his nappy changed. We would be in absolute bewilderment, wouldn't we? We'd think there's something seriously wrong here. Though the human eye is a normal guy, but he hasn't matured. He hasn't learned to feed himself. We'd think that was stupid. We'd feel sorry. We'd feel desperately sorry for him. Even worse, if we're not maturing in godliness, in righteousness. Grow up, the word is saying to us. The Bible constantly is urging us to go into the deeper things of God. Go into the mysteries of God. Our journey is a process. Obviously, a journey is a process. You don't get from A to Z without B, C, D. You don't go from 1 to 10 without 2, 3, and 4. So our Christian walk is a process. It's a journey. We're on a journey. As I say, we may be at the beginning of the journey in terms of our faith. We've been newly born again, and that means we could be 10 and on the journey, or we could be 60 and just have found Christ Jesus. We haven't yet reached maturity. Others of us have been in the way a lot longer, so we should be further along the process, further along the journey. And so that means we're being weaned off milk. We're being weaned off milk, and we're now partaking of solid food, of good food, nourishments. Amen? One of the consequences, if we are now feeding on the Word, feeding on Christ, is that we can hear His voice. We can hear Him speaking. We can hear sometimes the very still, small voice of the Lord. Sometimes it really shouts at us. But we can understand the Word for ourselves. We're not so dependent on others because we are feeding ourselves on the Word. We're now praying, we're now seeking God, we're maturing, we're growing in righteousness. The writer to the Hebrews in these verses here, verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. It's almost as if they got weaned off the milk, started on the solid food, started really believing God, claiming the promises and walking by faith, and not when the enemy comes against them just succumbing or thinking God doesn't love me, or when chastisement comes, or when affliction, sickness comes, or when pain comes, or family circumstances go a little bit wrong, God doesn't love me, and sulk and have just self-pity parties. The danger is that having not understood the things of God to any degree, they then slip back to just wanting milk. They've already begun and then come back. Indeed, carrying on in Hebrews chapter 6, the writer has some pretty challenging things. He says, look, those of you who taste and handle, you know, those of you started out on the road and then don't keep the faith, but believe some other doctrine, some other, or just renounce God, you're in a worse trouble than what you were at the beginning. These are very solemn words, very challenging words. You know, it's impossible for those who have been enlightened if they slip. So, can you get something of the author's, well, the Holy Spirit's heart here? He said, I love you so much. When you are chastised, when you are being disciplined, when sickness comes, when accidents happen, when redundancy comes, when your finances are looking a bit pear-shaped, it's an opportunity to put your trust in me. It's an opportunity to see what I'm going to do. is an opportunity to learn from me. I still love you. In fact, it's because I love you that some of these things have happened. I need to get your attention, but I want the best for you. I really, really want the best for you. So these verses, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, discern both good and evil. This isn't to say that we've got it all, because we certainly haven't. We're still learning. As leaders, we're still learning. One of the things I notice very much when I go to India and have been to Africa and teach the pastors is that many of them are still really, they haven't progressed very much. They're still on the basics. And that's one of the things which we're very much praying for Alex, that they will quickly be able to discern, have revelation of God and his word, so that they can then feed others. It's a tremendous responsibility that we have. Because the whole point of this book and of Hebrews in particular, and of what we read, is you should now be on solid food so that you can teach others, you can bring food to others, you know, that's the whole thing about being priests, isn't it? Priests under the Lord and being an offering to others. Well, childhood is wonderful. Childhood is wonderful. It's something when we're looking forward to the next adventure. We're looking and thinking about new discoveries that are being made. But childhood doesn't last forever, does it? Doesn't last forever. Soon we have to think about earning some money, thinking about that part-time job, or what university or college should I go to? And then, having done the part-time job, well, actually I need a full-time job. And then this, the rent to pay, the first car to buy, mortgages, and so on. As we grow up, new responsibilities come our way. We have to mature, don't we? If we've remained a child in our thinking and our attitude, we're going to make some ghastly mistakes, irresponsible mistakes. And as we grow up, the consequences of our mistakes affects others. So childhood doesn't last forever. And in terms of our spiritual walk, we need to grow up. We need to have our spiritual eyes opened. We need to see the wonderful promises of God. The hope that is ours, that is in Christ Jesus. This is what God wants for us. If we're not growing spiritually, if we're not maturing, it means we're getting bogged down. We're stagnating. Or, as I said earlier, retreating. But if we're feeding ourselves on God's word, if we're responding to God in faith and in humility, we can move forward. Hallelujah. We can ascend to the greater things that God has for us. If we are spiritually growing, we're going to be entrusted with greater responsibility. We're going to have greater power, greater authority, greater intimacy. That's wonderful. That's God's will for us. We value our relationship with God, so we nurture it, we protect it. Any hindrances to that, any stumbling blocks, we don't want any truck with, do we? That's our desire. We want to go on with the Lord. Someone who is growing spiritually has left base camp. The foundation has been laid, and now the temple is being built, being constructed. We've likened our spiritual existence as being on a journey, because it is. I refer to that first rung. If we think of a ladder, okay, think of a ladder. To climb to the top, we obviously need, first of all, to step on that first rung. We need to step on that first rung. Each rung is necessary. We're going to get to the top. We need to steadily but purposefully climb to the top. And as we're climbing the ladder, we're not looking down, because if we're looking down, we can get quite fearful. It looks a long way back there, even if we are only up the third rung. It looks a long way. What about if I fall? What about if they leave go? But we're looking up to the top. Doesn't seem too far. And we can see the purpose of reaching the goal. We can see that's why we need to get up there. As we steadily climb, we get nearer to our goal. We reach the top. But what sadly happens, as I say, we get just off the ground, 3 or 4 rungs up, and then we stay there. We feel comfortable. This is our comfort zone. We're not too far up that if we do fall, we're not going to hurt ourselves. But the top is still almost without reach. But hey, never mind, at least our feet are off the ground. That's got to be good, hasn't it? No, because we're not moving upwards. We're not moving forward. We're going to stagnate. And the enemy can see just where we are, and he sees, hey, that guy just doesn't have faith. He doesn't want to grow up in righteousness and in truth. He doesn't want to explore all that God has for him. He doesn't want to witness to his neighbours, his friends, his colleagues. He's just got sufficient. But that sufficient will soon dissipate, and he'll soon be robbed. If we stay on the third rung, we're going to miss out on so much. We're going to miss out on so much wisdom that God wants to give us. We're going to miss out on the power that God wants to give us. The anointing that is ours, if only we would go out from our comfort zone. We miss out on the glory that God has for us as we start maturing and ascending, as we're being changed from glory to glory. All these things are received by faith, but if we're still on the third rung, faith is dormant. We're not exercising it. It's not like a muscle. We're staying put because we're comfortable. We're not really in the world now, but hey, we're not embracing Jesus and his fullness either. And that's trouble. The highest of the heights is what we should be going after. So easy, isn't it? I've been there, done it. How easy to have the mindset of the Israelites. Instead of advancing, instead of conquering, instead of overcoming, they allow fear, complaining, murmurings, complacency, compromise to keep them back from the delights of Canaan. Silly, isn't it? We look back and think, what a stupid bunch of people. They was being led by a godly man and still messed up. We're even more thick if we are not progressing in Christ, growing up. Because not only do we have the history of the Israelites to learn from and all these precious promises that are in the Word of God, we have the example of Jesus. And he is for us. We have the Holy Spirit. We're not on our own. He is willing us. God is willing us to move forward. That we don't stay at base camp. But we grow into what he has for us. So that we can be a blessing to others. And so that when we then see him, meet up with him face to face, we will not be ashamed. Friends, if we've remained on third rung, I think we're going to be ashamed. We're going to have to give an account. God wants us to grow up, to move forward. There's all around us are serious needs. Big, big challenges. We need God's help. We need his power. We need his anointing. We need to cultivate this faith. We need to be studying and growing, making every opportunity of when we gather together, not slipping back, not staying away, not neglecting. And I know for some, finding that time with the Lord is a real challenge. But God knows that. He knows that if you're trying to bring up a family, if they are, we've got to get the children to school, dress them, clothe them, get them to school. We then got to clean the house. We've then got to do all these other jobs that need doing, and then we get into the mindset, I haven't got time, and the enemy feeds on that. Even those who perhaps have more time, we can always find excuses. The enemy wants to keep us on third rung or below. God doesn't. And he is willing us that we find that time. That time when we just open the word. Let him speak to us. Lord, this is your word. Let it speak to me. Don't let me ignore it. If you're pulling me up on something, I'm humbling myself before you. If through this tragedy, this circumstance, Lord, now you're speaking to me, you want to strengthen me, you want me to learn from it so that I mature and then help somebody else who perhaps has fallen victim or just, as it were, slipped from their sure foothold. I can help them, I can minister them, I can say, hey, I was there, but God had mercy on me. I humbled myself. He's teaching me. I want to grow. I want to move upwards and forwards, pressing towards the goal, Christ Jesus. He is the beginner. He is the finisher of my faith. He's wanting to move on. There's so many others. People are looking at us and they want to know that you are not going to stay in the world or half in the world and half in Christ. We're growing in righteousness. We're growing in maturity. So don't let us have the mindset of the Israelites. Another danger, of course, is that we allow our minds to become satisfied with the progress that we've made. I've hinted at that. Well, we've gone three rungs up. That's better than just being on the first rung, isn't it? Yes, you've made some progress. But what good is it doing you or your family? What good is it doing your colleagues at school, at college, at work? If you're not going to be fruitful. If we're going to stay abiding in Christ, Christ is willing us to go up the ladder. So we've got to go with him. We've got to move on forward with him. When we do slip back a rung or two, when fear does become our enemy for a little while, when we do succumb to unbelief, when we do listen to peer pressure, the good thing is, as we are seeking to abide in Christ, and he's for us, he is for us, we confess it. Say, Lord, I blew it then. I didn't honour you. I wasn't thinking of your glory. I was thinking of my comforts. He's there to forgive us and to pick us up. And then we go back upwards again. Because we're learning to eat solid food and not staying as babes. This is for every one of you. Don't think this isn't for me. This isn't, you know, that this is just for the leaders. This is just for the deacons. This is just for, you know, the kitchen people. It is for everyone, from the youngest to the oldest. And I want to encourage you. This isn't a knock you down, but it is saying the word came. We've got to be honest. That's the word which came. Be honest. It's what God is calling us for. Be honest, and then he can lift us higher, move us forward. He wants us to be effective ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So we must be careful of the diet that we're feeding on. We spoke about this the other week. If we're not growing in Christ, but just feeding on the diet of, say, Christian TV, so-called, I think we're in danger. Because if we're not growing in Christ, we're not being able to discern the good from the bad, the manna from the quail. Other things that will keep you and me from moving forward is pride. Kept us from in the beginning, didn't it? And it will still stop us from going up the ladder, reaching up to Jesus. What are we saying? Spiritual growth isn't automatic. It takes guts and perseverance. It takes a faith in this awesome God. In a few weeks' time, I'm looking forward to watching a DVD. It will be in the notices early December. And a DVD which I think will just draw us out to the awesomeness, as it's been described to me, the awesomeness, the greatness, this God. And yet he thinks on us. That sure should draw out adoration, shouldn't it, and worship. That's what God wants. Don't let pride get in the way. I'm doing it my way. It's not automatic spiritual growth. We have to become discipled in Christ and his doctrine. We need to humble ourselves. The Father's good pleasure, and it is his good pleasure, is for us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and to activate faith in him and his word. In other words, I want to want what he wants. And he will give us our desires. A Christian who stays on the basics, the milk, not progressing above the third or fourth rung, also won't have developed a hatred for sin in their lives either. Just as a baby has no concept of the dangers of putting his finger in a live socket, so the immature, the one who's going to stay immature, doesn't know how to deal with the consequences of their sin and the sin in their lives. Comedian Red Allen once said, "You live only once, but if you work it right, once is enough." In other words, we are to live by our convictions every day. We are to live by the truth every day. We are to live a life of integrity. Now, I'm just going to give you, as I close, 6 points, 6 steps, if you like. It's not 6 steps and I'll give you a book, give me 30 quid. It's not that. It's really, I hope, will be helpful for you and for me. 6 steps, how we can be training ourselves to understand this teaching and that we grow in righteousness. We've been singing some great songs this morning, and one or two of them have been singing about the righteousness of Christ. I can't make myself holy, neither can you. Christ's righteousness is what I want and what I have. His goodness, his grace, his glory. But I need to cultivate, I need to grow in that. I need to grow in that. There's consequences to me being a child of God. There's consequences you being a child of God, that we become like Christ. We grow in godliness. As I am perfect, so you be perfect. Without holiness, we cannot see God. And that's what God wants. So how do we train ourselves? Firstly, we must think regularly about our values. If our good values, if our values that are based on the Word of God, let them soak in. Think regularly about our values. What the life choices we make. Because secondly, we need to constantly measure our choices against God's word. We need to constantly measure our choices against God's word. Those people who are spiritually growing and maturing do what is right, no matter how they feel about it. I mentioned last week of the talk that Evelyn, Sister Evelyn, had given to the young people. It's all about character and character building. And character is like building a wall one step at a time, isn't it? A wall isn't built in one step, one wall, one brick at a time. Every time we choose to do right, we're growing in the character of Christ. Folks, certain situations will make us more vulnerable to temptation than others. And those circumstances will cause us to stumble almost immediately, while others don't seem to bother us at all. But those are the things which might be bothering our nation, our neighbours. Satan targets our temptations. Satan targets his temptations at our weakest areas. So we need to identify them quickly, because Satan sure knows them. He knows what trips you and me up, and he's constantly working to get into those situations. That is why the Apostle Peter says, be vigilant, be alert, stay awake, mature.
because the devil is poised to pounce. He's looking for someone to devour. Then we have James chapter 1 and verse 12, which says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life from the Lord to those who love him." The crown of life, the promise of abundant life now, the fullness of God now, and in eternity, a life of fullness. So those who are maturing in righteousness, they learn to identify evil as evil, even when it looks good, and follow good because it is good, even when it looks evil. So constantly measure your choices against God's word. Third, the truth we already know, we must be obeying. Does God want you to stop some activity that you know to be wrong? Is the Bible and the Holy Spirit asking you to change your attitude? To forgive someone? To reach out and help another? We need to obey the light we already have. Fourth, we need to remind ourselves of the promises of God for help. This is faith building. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, a promise here, there's many of them. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. That's a promise. We need to remind ourselves of that. In an earlier chapter of Hebrews, "For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren." This is the eternal one. He who breathed and the worlds came into existence. He was made like us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to come to the aid of those who are being tempted. We need to remind ourselves of the word of God, of the promises of God. Fifth, we need to claim these promises for ourselves. That we do whatever we need to do and believe in God's grace to see us through even the consequences of being faithful to God. And lastly, follow these steps whenever you become conscious of areas in your life or thoughts that need to be changed. You'll then be in a far, far, far better position to grow and to feed on the solid word of God and his teaching about righteousness. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4 and verse 14 that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So let's be diligent to grasp these important truths that we may grow up in righteousness. If I was on rung 3 in 2009, if the Lord tarries, I want to be rung 6, rung 7 next year. Don't you? That's God's will. Don't stay babes. Start maturing. Don't expect others to do it for you. Get into the Word. Get into Christ. Rely on the Holy Spirit and believe God's word. Amen. So Lord, as we now just wait in quietness before you, Lord, we do want to give you permission. We have to agree and ask you, Lord, to minister and work in us your righteousness, and we're saying, Lord, forgive us.
I thank you, Lord, for the example of some of my dear brothers and sisters here who have been an encouragement to me as I've seen them move on and grow in Christ. I do thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the example of those who've gone before us. We saw the life of Christ at work. We saw their determination to press on even when circumstances said no. We thank you, O Lord, that although the evil one is looking to devour, you are stronger. We thank you, Lord, that as we put our trust in you, nothing can or should harm us or defile us. Keep us, Lord. We want to walk by faith, not by sight. I pray for all of us. I pray for the young people, that they, Lord, will be helped to make the right choices, the good choices, to resist evil, always submitting to God, and that they will be fruitful. I pray, O God, that they will reach for that which you have for them. They won't accept lukewarmness, half-heartedness. The devil wants to shortchange us, but you are willing that we embrace your fullness, your glory, that we will be victorious as we live for Jesus, dying to self, living for Christ. And one day, by your grace, we will hear those words, "Well done, O good and faithful servant." Lord, help us to live knowing that we will give an account to you. Help us to be in faith. Help us to enjoy the rest of faith. We ask it for your great name's sake, the name which is above every name. Amen.